Would you open your Bibles to Genesis 3? Could pick all kinds of scripture passages for a labor day or a labor topic, but this one kind of jumped out at me. There's a few others, but Genesis 3, you probably know this one. Just looking at verses 16 through 19, you know, this is right after the fall, and God is kind of dealing out his word to the players involved. He had just gotten done talking with the devil. And verse 16, he said to the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire, actually the Hebrew is, your longing will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife, you ate the fruit of the tree, which I said you should not eat or must not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil or labor, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. Sound familiar? Until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, from dust to dust, you will return. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, again, for this Labor Day weekend. Again, we're grateful because we know that you call us to fruitful labor, not to unfruitful labor, but to fruitful labor that gives you honor and glory, that provides for our loved ones, and for the building of the kingdom here in this fallen world. And so, Lord, as we often pray, or we like to pray, give us spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts on this special holiday weekend. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So you may remember last week, we talked about the idea of dissipation in our lives as human beings. Dissipation means, it's an old word, meaning scattering or dispersing our time and energy in undisciplined ways. Now, dissipation, we said, looks different for different people, but it's really whatever depletes you, right? Expends, consumes, or wipes you out as a person. Again, throughout history, people have had these lists, and they're kind of maybe helpful, but they don't really cover the whole gamut of dissipation. Now, this morning, in light of the Labor Day weekend, I thought that it would be good to talk a little bit about a different form of dispersal of energy and time, one that was actually ordained by God at the fall of Adam and Eve. It continues with us right down to this very day. I want to talk about human labor, sort of various aspects of that. There are positive aspects. There are less positive or negative aspects when we talk about human labor. Now, I'm a word guy, as you know. Labor is actually a Latin word, and it has this idea to it. Labor implies struggle, suffering, hardship, and even plain old wear and tear. And we all know something about that. The Hebrew and Greek words behind this word, they all have the similar meaning. Again, as human beings, we've all experienced toilsome labor as part of our lot since Adam and Eve's disobedience. But less that some complain, some people will say, well, that's not fair. That's the first thing. This is unique to Americans, by the way. That's not fair. We're the ones that say it all the time. When we've got it the best, oh, that's not fair. They sinned, right? But what does Paul say, Romans 3:23? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Which reminds me of the time when an 8-year-old little girl went with her daddy on Take Your Child to a Workday event. Oh, isn't that sad? And as they were walking around this office, this young girl was getting crankier and crankier, and she began to cry and sob. And her father asked her, what's the matter? And even the whole office, it was sweet, gathered around to comfort her. And she finally blubbered out loud and said, Daddy, where are all the clowns you said that you worked with? You know, you've labored with clowns over the years. We all have. But then I realized that after decades, I have never preached a sermon about labor or Labor Day weekend. I thought to myself this week, geez, Jim, you clown, you need to learn something about Labor Day. Do some research. So I found this to be very interesting because I didn't know this. Maybe you do, but let me share this. So I went to the U.S. Department of Labor website, and they had some interesting things to say. This is what I learned. like the little video I showed, the holiday was rooted in the late 19th century, 1800s, when labor activists pushed for a federal holiday to recognize the many contributions that workers have made to America's strength, prosperity, and well-being. You know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Have you heard that term? These people have made it really good for us, really good. And yet we complain more than most people in the world, huh? That's another sermon, maybe. So what happened was various states around our nation began to recognize on their own and pass laws creating Labor Day holidays in their own states. And then Congress decided June 28, 1894, that by act of Congress, the first Monday in September of each year would be a legal holiday. It was signed into law by President Grover Cleveland. And during that time, it sort of naturally happened. There were parades followed by food, speeches, outdoor games, and activities. That became the norm for Labor Day weekend for celebrating, and it's still with us today. And even many churches, the Sunday before the Monday, decided to consider the spiritual and educational aspects of the labor movement. That was common not so long ago. And according to the U.S. Department of Labor, and I quote, they said this, "American labor has raised the nation's standard of living and contributed to the greatest production the world has ever known." And that is true. "The labor movement has brought us closer to the realization of our traditional ideals of economic and political democracy. It's appropriate," it said, "therefore, that the nation pays tribute on Labor Day to the creator of so much of the nation's strength, freedom, and leadership, the average American worker." And I thought, oh, that's really helpful, right? Our forefathers have labored hard, and many of us continue to labor hard as well, but we know that not every worker labors with such honesty and commitment. Kind of like the time when the boss of a young slacker in a rather loud display cried, "This is the third time you've been late to work this week. Do you know, young man, what this means?" And he said, "Yeah, it means that it's only Wednesday." This really ticked off his boss, and I hear stories like this all the time today, in these days. And then the boss smelled something on the young man's breath, and he said, "You can't drink while being on the job." And to which the lazy smart aleck replied, "Well, I'm not really working anyway." And they both laughed, and then what happened? The boss fired him. Amen. Get to work already, right? Well, again, God's declaration of labor goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, a result of Adam and Eve's disobedience. And I want to unpack this a little bit today because there might be more here than meets the eye. So they were both consigned to the experience and practice of labor as well as their offspring until the end of time. Now, little teaching moment here. Bible scholars call these sorts of passages etiological story. There's your $20 word for the day. It just means an origin story. It gives us the background to the kinds of things that we still experience today. Now remember, our definition of labor implies a struggle, suffering, hardship, sometimes just plain old wear and tear. Now, as you know the story, giving in to the temptation of the devil, consuming that which God had previously and expressly forbidden, Adam and Eve, what happened? They lost the protection and privilege of living in the Garden of Eden, right? This reminds me of young people who live with mom and dad and thinks that their life sucks. Mom and dad, they suck. This whole thing sucks. Yeah, well, you're free to go out and get a job and get your own place, amen? You know, and then we've said this before, we're all so sad when the kids fly the coop. Oh, so what am I going to do? And then 30 days later, you're like, sweet. I mean, I've had people, parents come to our house and they're like, "Boy, you got a lot of nice food in here." I'm like, "Daddy deserves it finally." You know, it's like, I finally have a little extra money where Deb and I can like eat nice food and not just have our fridges destroyed. I remember shared this before. Before Josh graduated from Corvallis High, he had befriended a lot of the Pinesdale boys. I was like, oh, wow, what's this going to mean? Well, let me tell you what it meant. It meant that when they got kicked out of their house by their polygamous parents for doing stupid stuff, guess where they came? My house. I mean, some days I would walk over like 5 to 6 Pinesdale boys, and I didn't know how they got there in the middle of the night. And then remember one day I got up to get my coffee. I'm like, there's a kid rifling through my fridge. And I'm like, who are you? And he said, good morning, Dad. I said, whoa, I'm not your dad. All right, you can have breakfast, but, you know, anyway, right? How'd I even get there? God provided and protected them. And they questioned this. You know, the price for Adam and Eve's knowledge of good and evil was very steep, wasn't it? We can see that now. We not see it, we experience it. Genesis 3 here, etiological stories, right? An origin story of how labor came to be in the human experience. So with your Bibles open, let's just look at these verses briefly, right? Verse 16, actually it started with Satan, but then it came to Eve, right? Verse 16, we got two origin etiological stories. With painful labor, women will give birth to children. And I dug into the Hebrew. It said her desire will be for her husband. Actually, better yet, it's the stretching out and overflow of a woman's heart for others and for her husband and later children. You know, sometimes it's a mystery to guys, the way women kind of fuss over their children, even as they're adults, right? It's like, hey, they're gone. Praise God. Oh, I miss them. It's like, I don't. All right, too much sharing maybe. Okay, I do miss them. I do miss them. I'm going to get in trouble. She doesn't watch this. So the stretching of her heart is the idea. And then if you look at verses 17 through 19, the Lord then turns his attention to Adam, or Adam in Hebrew. It's the etiological, or the origin story of how men end up working hard all their lives only to return to the ground from which they were made. Does this sound familiar, people? I just slaving all my life for what? Big existential question. So what you do and how you live your life and how you enter work is really important, isn't it? What we're going to find on Thursday night as we study Mother Teresa, I encourage you to be a part of it. She said this, I reread this week. She said, work without love is slavery. Some of you know what I mean. You know, you've slaved away at certain jobs you hated. That was a lot of the guys I knew in the Detroit auto industry because they were just automatons, just working stuff. They hated it. And so what did they do? They went up to northern Michigan to their cottages on the weekend to get away. You know, it just felt like soulless work. Work without love is slavery. Do you love your work, or at least like it? I hope so. They say that if you love your work, you never work a day in life, something like that, right? Well, I don't know about that, but it sure makes it better, doesn't it? Sure does. Well, here's Adam, right? Adam, did you know that Adama in Hebrew means ground or earth? So Adam or Adam, through painful labor, would work the Adama in order to provide food that his wife and children would need to survive. And then, as the old clergyman used to say at the gravesite, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, right? In the end, and this is a little more according to a more worldly sort of viewpoint, labor of one sort or another is simply the lot of men and women. So the story, origin story, the etiological story says we started off in a beautiful garden where God provided everything, kind of like your children, right? And then through willful disobedience, the garden became off limits, and we entered into a world that required difficult labor in order to survive. Now, some people may think that that's kind of a bait and switch, right? This isn't fair. Again, most people in the world don't ever say this isn't fair. Even when something's not fair. Is this some sort of dirty trick, right, that God played on us? Kind of like the supposed dream job? You know how they advertise jobs sometimes, and it's like, ooh, not as advertised. You know, like this one. In this dream job, you will get a $250,000 company vehicle with a great view of the city, only to find out that meant you would be a city bus driver. Tough job. Deb was once hit by a Chicago bus and her car got whiplash. We tried, but they weren't giving up no hospital money. I mean, that's Chicago. You know, where you go, you vote early and often is the tradition. Anyway, Different world. Or kind of like the time when a guy got fired from his job at the bank. He was having a tough day. Elderly lady came up and said, "Would you please check my balance?" And instead of checking her account information, he just pushed her over. That'll get you fired. How's your balance, seniors? This is a segue into kickoff Sunday. You know, Thursday night before Life Group, I actually teach a Qigong class. This is Chinese stretching. They've been doing this for like 2,000 years. You know, one of the biggest hurdles in for our seniors is staying stretched and keeping good balance, right? Because when you slip and break that hip or whatever, that's when it's really tough. But, you know, you can do stuff to lean in on that. Had this old lady done Qigong, she wouldn't have fallen over and she probably would have clocked the dude and it would have ended up being all right. But anyway, as you think about labor, the Bible talks about it differently. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Right? You got the grouchy old sage talks about laborious toil. You know, sometimes it can feel meaningless, he reminds us. But after a lifetime of busy but fruitful labor, he says in Ecclesiastes 2:20, he said, "So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, but then they must leave all they own to another who hasn't toiled for it." Sound familiar? Ever had a loved one pass and, ooh, then it goes down. Do you have a will? Have you talked with people? I don't want to deal with that. You better deal with it, right? You know, how many of us have seen greedy and grabby family members waste their parents' and grandparents' inheritance? There you go. Oh, they just all of a sudden become like two unsanctified two-year-olds where their only vocabulary is two words. Mine and no, you can't have it. Fighting over trivets and stupid stuff like that. Boy, if I had a nickel for every time I saw that in ministry. Now is the time to prepare people, right? The good news is that we can invest our time, our labor, our financial resources in things of eternal value. We can do that. In fact, we're called to do it. We've said this before. God calls us to take physical things, right? Like our labor, like our money, and invest them in what? Spiritual things, things that last. Community benevolence, that's a big thing here at Mosaic. Single moms, youth empowerment. You can invest in proven Christian ministries with integrity. I dare say, like Mosaic Church, where we are completely free to engage our community, our valley, and the world with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as many of you know, recently I was back in my native Michigan at a family event, but it was one of those times in life you're like, oof, I actually had to wait around a few extra days because lawyers are busy, as you know, and they charge by the minute, I found out. A minute? Man, Did I get in the wrong profession? My stuff's free, you know, by the minute. And so when I got there, it was really to sign papers regarding my mom's will. And boy, that got real quick. Some of you have been through this, right? It's like, whew, right? And that had to happen, and that's a good thing, right? But it was kind of like, wow, what a wake-up call for me. And when I got home, Deb said, you know what? Maybe we need to go to a lawyer's and get a will. You know, there's not like a lot of money or anything, but that's important, isn't it? And I thought, ooh, am I getting to that point in life? I think we need to do that in the days ahead, right? Where do you want your stuff to go? Asked the author of Ecclesiastes, you know, that you labored so hard for. Well, I thought about it this week as we were talking about labor, and I thought, you know, I want a significant portion of whatever I may or may not have to go to Christian ministries that will continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ upon my departure. Have you given thought to that, right? I want my life's labor to mean something, and I know you do too. I want to hear from my master, Jesus Christ, on that day, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Is that on your radar? I hope it is. I hope it is. You want your labor to mean something. I want to know what the author of Hebrews said. He said it in regards to Abel, but I think this can be true of us as well. By faith, he or she still speaks, though he or she is dead. Don't you want that in your life? I think so. I bet you do. What kind of legacy of labor do you want to leave behind? And what will you prayerfully invest in to make those sorts of things happen? What do you value? I think we should be prayerfully intentional in all this, right? We're talking about your hard and meaningful labor on this weekend. So I decided to do something I normally don't do. I'm just going to go there this morning, right? Seniors, we've talked about this before. When your room is ready in heaven, right? What if in your inheritance you helped us destroy the last $100,000 of this church's mortgage? I mean, you've done a great job so far. 3.5 years, we went from 339 to 105 last week. I checked it. Pretty stinking good, guys. Thanks. Yeah. I mean, actually, this is unheard of. As a 3.5-year-old church, when does a 3.5-year-old buy a house? They're usually just fighting for juice boxes and cartoons or something. But no, God has given us a vision for this. What if you went home and prayed about, maybe it's something else. Maybe I'd like to endow a youth ministry. You know, we've talked about youth ministry. We're just waiting for the right situations and people. We have this policy here that unless we can do it well in Jesus Christ, not perfect, but well, we're not going to start it. And people have asked about youth ministry. It's like, we're not quite there yet, but maybe God would put that on your heart. Some of you just love, you know, community and church benevolence. What if you gave a gift in perpetuity that where the interest each year was used directly for benevolence? Some of you have a big heart for that. You've shared that. I don't know. These are just ideas, right? Wouldn't that be a delicious final act for your life? I thought about this week, which you in your own way could say a yes, resounding yes to the continued powerful work of Jesus Christ in this fallen world. And while you get to flip Satan the double bird as you go home in glory. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm going home. God be praised. Satan be cursed. And I'm going to take my labor, my life, and I'm going to invest it in things of eternal value. We all love a dip, double dip, right? Getting something for nothing or buy one, get one free. That's so American. What if you did that with your life and labor? A bigger vision of this. Here at Mosaic Church, you know we like to have a lot of fun. While we live out and labor through our physical and spiritual lives together, this ministry is a labor of love. And I believe that's true for all of us here as well. Because we're on mission together, right? This isn't about gathering on Sunday in this little place downtown, which is awesome. We had a great fair parade outreach. It was awesome. We brought out the popcorn machine. Kids love that. Candy, water, coffee. And instead of making them come to us, we just carried it all out to them. Carol carried coffee and there's popcorn and they just loved it because we get to be right here on mission. You know, you might as well have fun with labor. And God is creative unto infinity, said St. Vincent de Paul, who I used to work for the Vincentians. They were awesome in Chicago. Kind of like the time when after 50 years of work and hard labor at a company, Mr. Jones retired. There he is. Who is he going to be up to? I don't think he's kicking back and flipping through ESPN. Nope. He retired and looked forward to some rest and relaxation. But guys, have you noticed that sometimes our wives have different ideas? You'd have the honey-do list? You never can complete it. Is it just me? Well, anyway, I hope she doesn't watch this now. Later. So what she insisted, Mr. Jones's wife, Mrs. Jones, said, no, you're going to take me to the shopping mall every day. Well, for most guys, that's the same as someone cursing and saying, go to hell. Right? Something like that. Well, anyway, he had to do that, but he had to find some creative ways to have some fun there until his wife received the following letter from the security team at the shopping mall. It was detailed, and I share. Dear Mrs. Jones, over the past 6 months, your husband has labored hard to create constant commotion at the shopping center. We can no longer tolerate his behavior, and now we are now forced to permanently ban both of you from the mall premises. According to our video surveillance cameras, here are listed our documented complaints against your husband, Mr. Jones. There he is. On July 2nd, he set all the alarm clocks and housewares to go off at 5-minute intervals. He's laboring with love here. But wait, July 2nd, he pretended to be a manager and told an employee that there was a code 3 in housewares and that this young man needed to get on it right away. This caused the young employee to leave his assigned station, which resulted in a reprimand from his supervisor, which resulted in a union grievance. Besides, we don't have a code 3 at the mall. On July 14, he went to the service desk and tried to put a bag of M&Ms on layaway. Is layaway still a thing? On July 19th, he moved the caution wet floor sign to a carpeted area. On July 27th, when a clerk asked if she could help him, he began to cry and scream, "Why can't you people just leave me alone?" EMTs were called. August 1st, while handling the guns in the hunting department, he asked the clerk where the antidepressants were. He's laboring hard. August 5th, he hid in a clothing rack, frightening the browsing customers while yelling, "Pick me, pick me." And the final straw, last but not least, this is why you're banned from the mall forever. In perpetuity, on August 9th, he went into a fitting room, shut the door, waited a while, and then yelled out very loudly, "Hey, there's no toilet paper in here." This caused one of our clerks to pass out. How do you view your life and labor? I hope labor is without love, Mother Teresa said, is slavery. I hope that's not your approach. I hope you have fun while you labor. I hope that it's actually life-giving to you. And in the end of it, your labor, what do you want to do with it? How do you want to pass it on? You get to choose that, right? That's powerful. We've said this before. Wayne showed me the clipping long ago, but it stayed with me. We like to say this here at Mosaic. Life isn't a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a well-preserved body, okay? It's rather to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, while loudly proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride." Isn't that what you want to do? Make your labor in your life meaningful. That's the kind of legacy of loving labor that you want to pass on in Jesus' name. Amen? As a Christian? Yeah, that's what we want. So in saying all of that, I and Mr. Jones would like to wish you and yours a blessed and happy Labor Day. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for men and women who work hard. And for the opportunity to love labor as an act of worship. Lord, sometimes we forget, sometimes it's just a painful struggle for all of us, but these things can be used for our Christian growth and for our sanctification. Thank you that labor can be a legacy of love. Help us to think a bigger picture about all of this. Now in our lives, as well as what we do with our time and energy in retirement, as well as the inheritances we pass on, may they make a kingdom impact in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon this Labor Day weekend. We pray for those who are not here and who are traveling. We pray for traveling mercies upon them as well. Thank you for this day. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, saying, amen.